Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're into the second hour of a special show today. It is the 9 till noon show live from Cancer Care West in Letterkenny. It's part of Your Voice, Your Community. It's in association with Commissioner Mann, and we've had a fantastic welcome here. I have to say the coffee, the sandwiches, and I haven't even gone near the buns yet, resplendent. And I've never seen a room in all of my life with so many incredibly comfy chairs. This is quite literally the most comfortable chair I've ever done a programme from. Keep your calls and comments coming into us, of course, 0860 25000. Particularly interested if you wish to share your stories of using the services here, or maybe a loved one did. If you want to share that, please feel free to do so. Chloe Friel in Ballybuffet, happy birthday to you from all your co-workers. I think you might be downstairs from us here, Chloe. Hope you have a fantastic day. And I've been asked to remind Tiernan to make sure he delivers lots of surprise presents. So, Tiernan, if you got her a 10-euro voucher, you need to go out and sort that, because Chloe and the team there are expecting something slightly more significant. A caller wants a question put to Cancer Care West, who provides the transport for the patients. We'll get an answer for that in a moment. A caller says she's having a lot... Okay, let me see. Those are separate ones. I'll come back to them. A caller is a current user of Cancer Care West and would like to say a sincere thanks to this wonderful charity. Such a beautiful environment. Staff are so kind and helpful. In particular, the absolute gentleman, Dr. John O'Donoghue, through his therapy sessions, he's learned to control her life and not let the cancer win. Please support this valuable charity and never, ever take it for granted. We are blessed in Donegal to have access to such a large amount of services under one roof. That's from Jackie. I'd like to thank John and everyone at Cancer Care Northwest for helping me on my journey with cancer. I was diagnosed with ocular melanoma 6 years ago, and talking to John in Cancer Care Northwest really helped. I'd highly recommend anyone to drop in for a chat and a cup of tea or coffee. Morning, Greg. Just want to say John and his team at Cancer Care West are amazing in what they do. They've helped me on my own journey more than I can ever say. I want to thank John and the team. That comes in from Jane Deaney in Rathmullen. Message for the staff from a caller, Rita Marin, who used to work there, used to run events in the evening for service users in her own time. And a big thanks to her. The help it gave to her family in 2018 was unbelievable and so beneficial. And one last birthday request. Happy birthday to John McGuinness, working in Meanmore, from Mum and Dad, sisters Mary and Catherine, and brother Declan, and nephews Owen and Joel, and nieces Anna and Jessica. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show. I know some of you out there are waiting for the bingo numbers, so we'll take those, and then we'll be joined by two very special guests, one a more familiar voice to this programme than the other, but both excellent nonetheless, and we'll chat to them after these. Right, it is the 9 till noon show. Sorry if I panicked anyone back at base there, but we are back here, and we are in the company of Elaine McDermott, lymphedema therapist. Good morning to you, Elaine. How are you getting on?
I'm good, Greg. Thank you.
Very good. I'm working through the family, interviewing you all. Finally got to you.
Get round them all, yes.
I've had your son on the show before.
Yes, you've had Anna on.
Very good. Okay, lovely stuff. And also we have our own Fionnuala Rabbit, CEO of Highland Radio, and a recent diagnosis with breast cancer. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Elaine, I want to talk about the work that you do, and I want to talk a little bit about lymphedema.
Yes.
So what is it, and when is it likely to occur?
Okay. So lymphedema is basically a malfunction of the lymphatic system. It can occur after a surgery, when lymph nodes have been removed, or after chemotherapy or after radiotherapy. And it can cause like a swelling, or it can cause a numbness and tingling, heaviness of the limb. And it doesn't happen in all cases. It's only about 15% of the people.
Okay.
But it's key that if anybody does suspect anything, or if they have had lymph nodes removed, that they're educated on lymphedema.
And it's more discomfort than pain.
Well, yes,
that could be easy for me to say, but I just want...
Yeah. Well,
I
it, just... it, It can be both.
Right.
More often than not, it's a discomfort and an inconvenience, you know, just with the heaviness of the limb and, you know, not having the same ability to use it, you know, the same way as you did before. But it doesn't always just occur in arms and legs. It can occur in the breast, or it can occur in the abdomen or the back. It can occur really any part of the body. And particularly it can also happen in the, with head cancer, head and neck cancer. People can get it swelling of the face, and, you know, it's a lot of discomfort of that around the neck, and and, you know, the tissues become hard.
Yeah. Now, is it always going to be obvious, or are there, I mean, obviously you say you would hope that everyone has been told who may be likely to get it, what the symptoms are, but is it always like a lot of swelling that is obvious, or could someone notice maybe jewellery's become a little bit tighter, or...
Yes, that's right, yeah. Absolutely. It's more often than not, by the time they come to me, more often than not, it's only at early stages. Swelling may not be obvious, but they just may not. They may notice that maybe one sleeve is tighter than the other, and their watches maybe need to loosen a button, maybe need to loosen the belt of the trousers, the rings maybe maybe get tighter and things like that. Or it could be the shoes and the socks or the legs of the trousers are getting tighter and that. They begin to feel like a heaviness of the limb. And maybe like a dull ache and maybe some numbness and tingling.
And the lymphatic system is very important, so this is something that shouldn't be neglected, I presume.
Absolutely. The lymphatic system is your body's biological filter station, so it cleans and mops up everything the body doesn't need or want. I suppose it eats up dead cells, protein, water, bacteria, hormones, viruses, everything that the body is finished with, and it, what's left then it puts back into the body as a cleanse product, and the body uses it again, and it filters it out through the urinary system.
So when we talk of manual lymphatic drainage, is that the same really when we talk about massaging?
It
or
is,
the two separate things?
Yeah, probably be more commonly known as massage, but I like to call it a skin technique.
Okay.
Because it's very specific.
It's doing skin, something.
Yes, it's doing something. It's clinical.
Yeah.
It's like a skin stretching. And when you stretch the skin in one direction, there's little superficial lymph nodes, lymph vessels that go into the skin. When you stretch it, the fluid goes into the lymph vessel, and you stretch the skin in the other direction, it pushes it on.
Yeah.
So it keeps, you're stretching and pushing it on, and you're just pushing the fluid further into the lymphatic system to be filtered.
And you are doing then the work that was done previously through that process. In other words, the lymphatic system is working as it might with the manual intervention.
Well, it actually speeds up the work of the lymphatic system.
Okay.
It can speed it up quite immensely.
Right.
And the person, you know, if they have fibrosis or anything on the limb, it can soften the tissues and give the patient a lot of relief, and it can actually reduce the swelling.
And if your lymphatic system is not working correctly, 15%, you said, of cancer
around
patients?
Around about that, yeah.
Male and female?
Male and female. We don't see as many males, but probably, you know, probably more often in cases of maybe of prostate cancer, where maybe they've had the prostate radiated, where it could end up the lymph nodes in the pelvis are radiated, so then they get swelling of the legs and the arms and possibly the head and neck.
But it doesn't repair itself as such. So can you... Do people learn the techniques at home, or would they always need someone, see someone like you, and how frequently?
It would be paramount that when someone would come to me for a treatment, I would treat them what's called self-lymphatic drainage.
Yeah.
So what we do is we redirect the fluid away from the area that the swelling is, and send the fluid to another cluster of lymph nodes that can take it away. And
but once you've educated someone in that regard, is it something they can do themselves, or
it is something they can do themselves? Yes.
And do many do, or do they tend
well,
to
well, people who do it find that that it really does help. So if they do that combined with the exercises, exercises is important. Exercise is the movement of the muscle is the pump for the fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're exercising and moving the muscles, you're pushing the fluid on. So the exercise enhances the treatment of the manual lymphatic drainage.
Yeah. And also, too, if your lymphatic system isn't working as it should, how can it affect the skin, and what do people have to be careful of in terms of skincare?
Yeah. Oh, it's, their skincare is really important. I was going to say, particularly this time of year, the sun in Ireland, we don't need to worry too much, but you need to be wearing a high factor. The integrity of the skin isn't what it used to be. You need to moisturise it. And if you get a bite, a cut or a sting or damage the skin in any way whatsoever, you need to apply an antiseptic. Apply antiseptic to the area to prevent infection or to prevent a cellulitis from occurring.
So this 15-ish% of people... Are any of them listening to us that weren't given this advice and need to check for those symptoms? Or would you be confident that sort of, right, okay, Fionnuala's got her hand up? Well, I'll come back to you in a moment.
All right.
Our own Fionnuala Rabbit,
thank
CEO
you.
Of Highland Radio. Initially, you kind of says, well, I'm taking a bit of time off and...
Yes.
You weren't, I don't know how to describe because
no,
it's your
it's
words,
fine.
But your personality is you're a grinder, you put your head down, you batter on with things, right? And
yeah.
I mean that in the nicest possible way. I actually genuinely
no, I totally,
do.
Yeah, denial is
but
my favourite place.
But
to
also,
too,
in terms of that, maybe I've seen a little bit of change in you. That you're maybe a little bit more open about this part of your life. I don't know. I don't want to misread
no,
it.
No, well, I think it's just, for me, and I don't even like to use the word journey because, to be honest, I've been so lucky and it really was amazing the way that it works. Even I was talking to the surgeon and she was like, you're the kind of poster of it. This is why we have Breast Check. And basically what it was is that I was... I turned 50 during COVID, so obviously I would have been called and put on the breast check list. I've always been very conscious of my breast care because as many women out there, and Greg's going to get a lot of information about my boob now, but as many women out there know, some of us have very lumpy breasts. And when they say to you, oh, you should check your breasts, I would always be trying to do that. But to be honest, they feel like as if there's a bag of marbles in there.
Yes.
So I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So I've always been very conscious of it. I remember when I turned 40, as a present to myself, I went and I was very fortunate that I lived in Galway and there was the opportunity to go privately for a mammogram, and I went and had one and went, oh, that's great. Now I don't have to worry about that now until I'm 50. So then when I turned 50, I got onto the breast check. And I was, but it takes a couple of years just because of COVID, but they're actually getting very close now to being caught up again. But it took them a little while, naturally, to catch back up on the waiting list. And I was called last August. Now, as I said, I'm very conscious of my breast care, and I had lost a little bit of weight for my daughter's wedding. Again, everybody knows about that. I talk about it all the time at the time. And I thought that I'd found a lump, and I went and I had it checked out, and I had a fantastic experience here in Letterkenny, and it was all done and dusted in 2 weeks, and they told me, oh, it's only... it was only fatty tissue, but I did have a mammogram at the time. So then when I was called for the breast check, I was like, oh, sure, I won't bother going now. I've had it done, and I don't know what it was that made me think, oh, you might get knocked off the list. You know yourself, if you don't engage, you might get knocked off. So I said, grand, so, and I went down and had it here in the van, down beside the council offices there. Had it in the van, and that was in August of last year. And in September then I got a call to come down to the symptomatic breast care unit in Galway. And I was driving all the way down thinking, oh my God, now this is that fatty tissue that they said. And sure enough, went in there, something came up. I was again, oh sure, I've loads of fatty tissue. That's all it is. And as soon as they did the second mammogram, they were like, yeah, no, we're going to do a biopsy. And they were confident that it was breast cancer. But I was very lucky, as I said. They found it very early. I did lose some lymph nodes, but not too many in seriously. And to be honest, I kind of thought, oh, I'm done now. Had the little operation and came out. And that once that's over and done with, I'll be back to work in October, November. And that'll be it. That'll be me all done. Not being any way realistic about it. But then, so I was off because I had to have a bit of radiotherapy and that kind of thing as well. But the whole thing was amazing to me. And I was done and dusted. And I was like, oh, I'll start the new year now. Pretend it never happened. This is the denial that Fionnuala lives in. And to be honest, that's when things started to happen that I wasn't really expecting. Because I kind of thought once the radiotherapy was over, I'd be done. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that goes into it with that kind of a feeling. sure, I'll be all over then. But at that point then, things started sort of kind of falling apart a bit, because you don't really know what to expect, you know, until you've engaged, until it's happened to you. You don't know how it's going to feel. Everybody obviously experiences pain. Everybody has symptoms differently. I turned out to be one in the 15 that ended up. I have a seroma on my breast now. So as I keep saying, they took out a thing the size of a 2 euro and they put in a thing the size of a baby's fists, because it's just this weird seroma that's slowly healing away. But it just takes its time and it just makes the breast awkward. As Elaine was saying, when I started getting the lymphedema, I didn't understand what it was. It was just, you know, it felt like when we were kids and somebody would punch you on the shoulder and give you like that sort of a dead arm feeling. And you just felt like...
How long did you have that sensation or that feeling before you were told what it was?
Oh, a long time. Because I put a lot of it off to, oh, that's just the operation. And, you know, obviously after an operation and you kind of feel a bit funny with it. So, I mean, it really was kind of straight away. But the first 6-8 weeks, it was the operation. Mm. Then I was like, oh, sure, maybe it was the radiotherapy. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're in an awkward position for the radiotherapy and that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, maybe it was the radio. Maybe it was this. And then I was very lucky because I had, again, I know about lymphedema and I wasn't speaking to somebody up here about it a long time ago, but I also have an experience of Cancer Care West again through when I lived in Galway and I worked in the radio station in Galway. It was around the time that they were fundraising for the fantastic Inishevan facility. Yeah. And I don't think enough people in Donegal realise how amazing that facility is, and particularly for people, I think, up in this part of the world that have to travel. You know, I suppose in some ways, thankfully, they don't until they or a family member experiences, you know, going through a cancer situation. But it's just, and it's an amazing facility. It's only pity it's not 5 times bigger, because you could fill it. There's sadly so many people have need of it. You know, it's a wonderful place to come and stay. So I was aware of the Cancer Care West. I was directed then to the lovely Elaine. And to be honest, she has blown my mind with information that I didn't know.
In a good way, Elaine.
Yes, no. But I mean, so much so that, you know, again, about the lymphatic system, it's not really something that I even recall doing in biology back in the, you know, dark ages. It's not something that I really knew a lot about. And I'm the type of person that I need information.
Yeah,
I can't, you know, I need to be asking the questions. Mm-hmm. I want to see it. I want to be awake for the operation. Mm-hmm. I want to see the pictures. So Elaine has been great and very patient and explained to me. And she has an awesome machine.
Okay.
Feels
tell
awesome.
You that in a minute.
Yeah, I have to go back to the machine.
In terms of coming here, is it just to see Elaine that you've called in here?
Well, or? To be honest, initially that's exactly what it was, because I was just coming in for the one thing. But every time you come in, you know, you sit down and you have a cup of tea while you're waiting for your thing. Then John comes out. Suddenly, you find yourself spilling your guts to John. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, John.
Because
hiring privately.
Everyone's situation is different. I mean, obviously, you've got your radio family up here, and we all care very deeply for you. But you're from a big family, and they're based in Galway, and your daughter and your grandchild and all that down there. So when you are up here too, it could be easy to feel a little bit isolated at times. So whether you come in here to purposely speak to John or accidentally, I don't know what the scenario is.
I think that's part of the thing.
It's really useful for you, I think, and loads of other people.
I totally agree with you. It can be when you don't have a lot. And as I said, I come from a very close, large family, so it is a bit strange sometimes when I'm here on my own. But the other thing about it is again, when I got the cancer diagnosis, I was kind of, oh God, sure, it's only a little bit. It's not even like real. It's like,
That's quite literally what she said, by the way.
I was like, I wouldn't even talk about it like other people have, like, proper cancer. And I think everybody reacts differently to it. And I'm actually, for myself, amazed at the emotional repercussions of it.
Yeah.
In that, even though, you know, one of the nurses said to me one time when I was, oh, sure, it's fine. I can just pretend now it didn't happen. And she was like, no. This is going to hit you now that it did happen. And it does actually hit you in different ways.
And in a way, still though, you're still, and thankfully, you've described it as, you know, you've been a textbook, but you're almost apologetic in talking about it.
Oh, God, I just, I know.
Compared to what other people are going through,
well,
which is kind of
interesting. Some people have such terrible journeys to go through. In mine, I was so lucky. I mean, you know, you just have to keep it in your head that you're so lucky. But it is... it does definitely impact you in ways that you're not, more than the physical. And I think that that's where somewhere like Cancer Care West can be amazing, because one, they're helping you with the physical, but they're also like, I didn't realise that what I was feeling was not what everybody else, you know, was possibly something that was wrong. I never even knew that I should be careful about getting sunburned. I love to go for a deep tissue massage. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not supposed to have deep tissue massage anymore. I even, things like giving blood, blood pressure, nothing can be done now on the right-hand side. I mean, I had my operation in October. I finished the radiotherapy just the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas. I still have a lot of weight in the arm, as in it feels weighty. I still find, you know, a stretch and a pull in it, that it's not, you know, that the mobility is not 100%. Whereas I never really thought about that kind of thing. I just assumed, I didn't realize about, and I'm not a good sunscreen person anyways, but I didn't realize about the sunscreen. And it's unbelievable how quickly, if I, you know what I mean, if I'm not careful and I'm out with a little short sleeve right and how. So there's loads of information that I think is here. And here you're getting it in a very conversational.
But also too, you know,
it's from people with experience.
And everyone's going through this with everything else going in life as well. I mean, you've had the best and the worst news in a couple of years.
Oh, I know. You know, my grandbaby. Sort of,
yeah, exactly. And like, it's how do we process as humans? Like I'm going through this and I feel like crap, but I'm so happy because I've got that. And you know, that's why I think the talking side of it's important. Elaine, is there anything else you want to add just before we move on now?
No,
I'm gonna buy one just so everybody should try it.
Fascinated by this machine.
I do,
we have this wonderful piece of equipment called a deep oscillator. And when someone has lymphedema, sometimes their limb can be very heavy and it can be extremely swollen, and the tissues are fibrotic, so they're really hard and feel like rubbery or whatever. So, and particularly maybe if there's lymphedema of the breast, the skin massage may not penetrate deep enough into the breast or deep enough into the fibrotic tissue. So what this machine does, it penetrates 8 centimetres into the tissues. And it breaks down the fibrosis and softens the tissues and makes it a lot more pliable, and the person just feels so much better for it.
And I'm conscious that...
It's like a tingly vibrating across your skin.
Steady yourself.
Awesome.
And, I'm conscious that we're speaking here from Letterkenny, right? And, and a lot of these services are available. And people come in from all over, don't get me wrong, but not everyone can. How broadly available across the whole region is, as far as we're aware, is lymphatic massage, stroke, lymphatic drainage? I'm thinking
available.
So I'm thinking if someone's listening in his show, are they going, oh, that's all right for you in Letterkenny, or if they're in Donegal Town or
well, to my knowledge, I think there is a service within the HSE, but outside of that, there's myself and Sinead Boyce. She's actually our massage therapist here, and I was very fortunate to use her services myself here as well. She's also a lymphedema therapist. And other than that, I actually don't know. You have to be really careful of who you get to do your manual lymphatic drainage.
It's a specialist
treatment, you could send the fluid the wrong direction and cause the swelling to get worse.
Okay, well, you have to be really careful about that. Fionnuala, anything you want to add finally?
I think just even what you're saying there, you know, in my experience, there isn't enough up here in Donegal. Yeah. You know, I'm assuming the HSE are doing their best, but the extra extended are all done through places like Cancer Care West. And like Elaine, I'd say, could be doing this night, noon, and morning.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, there's enough people here to be had the whole time. And Sinead is doing as well. I've met Sinead. She's fantastic as well. But I think it's just more reason why people should support services like Cancer Care West. I mean, I know from my conversations here, they'd love to be able to expand what they can do, to be able to go out and about and to do clinics and do different things. But it's all about the resources and it's all about being there. So I think this twofold really why I wanted to make sure that we did today was one, to make sure that anybody that's going through the journey, regardless of how, as I would say, good or bad it is, you know, given my situation being so good, reach out to them. You will find something that you can do. And even it's just lovely that there's people here that you can talk to and literally sit around and have a cup of tea or coffee. And they've lots of social events and stuff like that that they do just for people to chat and be able to say how they feel. But the other side of it is that people should be need to support them in as much as possible, because the resources that they bring are amazing. But it's sadly, there's not enough of it for the amount of people would require
and
it.
I mean, in an ideal situation, we'd have satellite services and stuff. All right, Fionnuala, thank you so very much indeed. Okay. Thank you very much, Elaine McDermott, who's a lymphedema therapist, and our own Fionnuala Rabbit, CEO of Highland Radio. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. We're broadcasting live from a buzzing, and I have to say it's a beautiful atmosphere here today, a buzzing Cancer Care West in Letterkenny. We're going to be chatting to Noel Cunningham. He is in the building. He's going to be chatting to us a little bit later on. We're going to have some live music for you as well, and other guests to introduce on the show. All right, but it is time. I thought it was a minute to 11. I nearly worried myself. It's 23 minutes to 11. We'll be back with more after this break. Stay right where you are, everybody. And there's a beautiful spell of sunshine that's just sat in front of me in the shape of Noel Cunningham. Could we have a round of applause? Can everyone hear me okay? Yes? Can we have a round of applause, please, for Noel Cunningham? Yes? Yes, there you are. Another packed audience for the 9 till noon show. We had one in Annagree. We have one in Letterkenny. This is it's huge, Noel. It's huge. Come here. Good morning to you. How are you keeping?
A very good morning to you. I am extremely well. And I can honestly say, today I find kind of emotional. I find...
Talk to me about that. Why?
Well, many years ago, I went on the invitation of Richard Flaherty, the CEO of Cancer Care West. I went to Galway to visit Inishavin. Inishavin is this beautiful guest house that welcomes people to stay over when they're going through treatment in Galway. And I walked in there all gung-ho, thinking, really, you know, just visit and go. I was absolutely touched and amazed that every single person there were actually from Donegal. That particular day, every resident
in
came
Galway.
From our county, yeah. In Galway. And leading on from that, what absolutely touched me even more was the fact that we could walk round the corner and there was this amazing centre where people could go. People on a journey, they could go for the various services that we're talking about here today. And now for me to walk in here in Letterkenny, having been here from the outset when the first renovations began, and to hear the cacophony of positivity and the beautiful stories from people on a journey. And the other part of the sadness, as I drove over, I remembered a great girl called, Mrs. Friel. She was a very significant person who used these services. And she and I were with you on Highland Radio some years ago, and her second anniversary, Breda Friel, is happening around now. So all of those combined with the positivity here and the emotion in this room and the happiness and the beauty, it's just a little bit overwhelming.
Yes, I can imagine that. And can I be honest with you for a moment as well? I'm always honest with you, of course, but we've spoken quite a bit about the Donegal Camino. And the fundraising efforts and all that type of stuff. It's only really today I've made the connection. Does that make sense? Between
yes.
What you're doing and what it achieves and what it helps to support.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of interviews about this stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
About people doing a fundraiser or whatever it might be. But I really see the connection now between people entering the Camino, and it's coming up, by the way, and Noel will tell you about it on Saturday the 7th of September. But also then how it feeds into the services that are provided here.
Yeah, that's why for me the Camino is a particularly, how would I call it, an emotional journey. It's a Camino really with people on a cancer journey. And last year we gave over 80,000 to this centre.
Wow.
This year my target is 100,000. When I say mine, our little committee, started off by Peggy Stringer, who did it the first year herself for this centre at my request. She is just incredible. And since then we've been joined by another group of merry warriors, Deirdre McGlone and Noreen Darcy and Michael Cullinan and John, just a lovely committee. And that's why I make no apology. I was talking to some people here today who will do a day or 2 days. You can dip in and dip out. And I hope that people listening today will, like you, realize the significance of the Camino, why we do it. And I would love if they went on the Camino page and the I Donate page, because everybody like myself who give up their time do it with a good heart. And the only thing we need money for is guides, transport, different things that are both legally required and essential for doing a week's walking.
But also, too, this place is like holds a mirror up to, you know, the population. There's different people of different ages, different backgrounds, different careers. You know what I mean? But everyone's equal in here.
Yes.
In their support. It's really quite remarkable in that.
Well, Greg, you and I have spoken a lot about my own journey with alcoholism. And I found my tribe in the AA rooms. Now I found a new tribe because the cancer family, if I may refer to it as that, those on that cancer journey, they're a very unique group. And to come in here today and talk to people, you know, and find out how they're getting on and to remember people who are no longer with us, it makes you very aware that cancer doesn't differentiate. We have the old, the middle-aged, the young. You have all walks of life, and many of them represented here today in this incredible cancer centre in Letterkenny.
And great to speak to fellas that come in here as well. You know, because sometimes we are reluctant to seek help or to reach out. It's not gender exclusive, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, as well to get into the ears of fellas who maybe, and just like our guest earlier on, living on their own, you know what I mean, and how that can exacerbate and make things more difficult. It is an incredibly warm, welcoming, homely space.
And you highlight something very important. Men are slow to discuss matters of an emotional nature, whatever that might be, health, relationships, anything in that field. In Donegal, we have a problem with isolation anyway. We've people who live alone in sort of far-flung corners of our very big county. So can you imagine being isolated and having had a cancer diagnosis? And there are people here today who've said the discovery of this centre was their life saviour. And it is so apparent here today with that positivity and joy.
And if you're whether you're a man or a woman, if you're listening to us in, I don't know, it could be Carrigart, it could be Bridgend or Glenties, hop on the bus, get the morning bus, come in here for a couple of hours and get the bus home.
Absolutely.
Just suck it and see. Do you know what I mean?
And you know what people forget, and I say to all of your listeners, those especially who may be on a journey or who have a family member just diagnosed. You know, one lady here today told me when she got her diagnosis, that month or 6 weeks that she was waiting for her program of treatment to begin, she would almost not have survived had she not discovered this centre.
And it's cancer is a bloody thing, isn't it? And one in two of us will get it. I think all of us will be affected by it. And when it comes into your house or affects someone that's close to you, or you could be the person, it's like something sweeps through your life or the house. It's
absolutely
unbelievable. And you know, is everything going to be okay? What happens next? What happens then? What happened? And all this kind of stuff. And then, of course, too, there's a great deal of anxiety for people who've had cancer with the fear of it coming back. It is a thing.
Yeah.
And often I think people who finish their treatment can come here and discuss that, because you might not want to discuss that at home. You know, so there's a million reasons, but the one commonality through it all is the talk of is that when you or someone close to you gets that diagnosis, it's I can't put into words what happens in the house.
And that's why today, Greg, I issue an invitation to people who may not have even heard of this great centre, and that be they on a journey or family or friends of, come and visit, come and see the great work that's being done, come and support the great work that's being done. And as a patron, you see, I tend to spend a lot of my time sort of looking for donations, because for me, it is so important that this centre thrives and continues to grow and continues to sprinkle a little bit of magic on the lives of those who are, as you say, the horror of that diagnosis. And I say horror because none of us know deep down what it is really like unless we've been there. But I know from the years I've been in and out of this centre and talking to people how awful that day is when they are told, and why the work being done here at the Cancer Centre here in Letterkenny, that's managed by Cancer Care West, is a most extraordinary and vital service.
Thanks, Noel. Stay where you are. And I'm also conscious that people who are dealing things in their own way or what have you, you know, might be affected by this sort of topic as well, and it might evoke negative memories and feelings and what have you. So again, this is what this centre is for. You talked about sprinkling a little bit of something or other, Noel. Forever, what matters most? We're going to talk to our next guest in relation to that. I don't even have your name in front of me. Where is it gone? Is it here? Yes. Kira Gilgan, is it?
Gilgon.
Okay, lovely, Kira. We care packages. Talk to me about that. I have one of them here, do I?
Yeah, so we run these campaigns every now and again. It's a Forever Living product. So it's for people that are going through any kind of care in any care facilities. They're going through any cancer treatments, recovery. We've got our lovely aloe deodorant in there. Lovely socks as well, because I know...
You cannot beat a comfy, fluffy pair of socks.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I've had so many people come back to me and go, oh my God, them socks are brilliant. Because I know when people are going through treatment, they can get cold feet. And, you know, it's just a little extra, you know, to put in the pack.
And we talked earlier on about the skincare and the importance of looking at your skin, particularly if your lymph nodes have been affected. That's
what's
over here too.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and there are, you know, there are lots of products there as well that, you know, can help with all those different, you know, outcomes from care treatments. So that aloe avocado soap there, it's got a lovely citrus scent off it. So all these products are all natural. They're all aloe vera based. The deodorant there is just a pure stick of aloe. It's really soothing. There's no aluminium salts in it, no chemicals, and it's really, really lovely smell. And the aloe lip balm, which is the best lip balm that you could ever get your hands on.
Do you have to give this to anyone, though? Can I use the lip balm?
You can use it, of course, yeah.
If you have to
pay. Once you start using the aloe lips, you will never go back to another lip balm. It's pure aloe.
Caroline will pay you if there is a cost.
So it's great for anybody.
How do you distribute these, or what's the story there?
So literally we, you know, ask for donations from customers, clients, friends, family. And what we do is we put the packs together. We deliver them to care facilities like this. We send them. I have given them up to the, you know, the hospital in Letterkenny, the cancer unit. And all the different hospitals and care facilities all over the country.
Brilliant. And if anyone wants any more information about We Care Packages or anything of the work that you do?
Yeah, so you can contact me. I'm on Facebook. You can get me at Kira Gilgon. You can get me on Instagram at Kira Gilgon. And you can also contact me on 087-226-8430.
And I can endorse the lip balm. It is actually some of the
absolutely
nicest lip balm.
Yeah, it's really, really good for anybody with any dry, chapped lips. I know people going through treatment. I don't know what's going on here now.
The wrong person to ask, absolutely. Yeah, with or without lip balm.
How are you going to survive at the Mary from Dunlow with me? That's the thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to meet. And you know what, Greg, I'm so scared that you're going to silence me before I am so happy.
Not at all.
You're going to dance in our Strictly for the Cancer Centre.
Oh, yes, I forgot about committing to that.
That Gabrielle McMonagle and I are organising for the new year. And I'm also throwing down a gauntlet, maybe, just maybe, to get into training. You might do a day or two on the Camino.
Well, I would actually like to, as yes. I was speaking there. I really would. So yeah. I'm going to commit to that now.
And it's the 1st to the 7th of September.
Well, I want to commit to the 1st yeah. to the 7th. But so let's talk about that, because I wanted to dedicate the last minute and a half to it.
Right.
So we've talked about the Donegal Camino in the past. €80,000 was raised last year to continue the fantastic work of this place. Noel and his crew, a small crew, have set a €100,000 target. They've already raised €160,000 for this amazing, amazing place. So how do people sign up? There's plenty of notice here. It's from the 1st to the 7th. Talk about the scenery. Talk about how you sign up.
You know what? It's a magical week in the hills of Donegal. 6 incredible walks. Go online, Donegal Camino. It will show you the routes. It will advise where you can stay, where the main group are eating on each night. Make your own arrangements in that respect. And most importantly, encourage friends and family to sponsor you. And to all your listeners, as I said earlier, there's an I donate button there as well. We would
love... the sponsorship cards?
Yes,
how does that work?
Absolutely.
So if I were to do it, we could ask the listeners to sponsor me to do 2 days of it.
Absolutely, and that would be so fantastic.
Okay,
Greg.
We'll do that.
And I've
never put my hand out before, so I will expect an awful lot of generosity now. I've never once put my hand out.
Well, listeners, are you listening? I am telling you, your generosity, you will have to call his bluff.
And yeah. You know what? I can plug things to death as well. So if I got one big backer on, my God, yeah. I could plug that.
Well, as I say, we need... I like to pay our expenses before the walk starts, so that every penny raised by walkers and by their friends, that goes directly to this centre.
Noel, give us the website.
Donegal Camino.
Couldn't be simpler. Noel, yeah. It's always a pleasure. You're going to be around for the rest of the morning.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much also to Kira Gilgun. GILGUNN, by the way, if you're looking
to search
her out. We're going to be back with the news in just a couple of minutes, and we've got loads of people to talk to between now and 12.